This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of Chasing the Tide, your saltwater connection on the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. I'm your host, Dustin, and this week we're going to have a pretty cool show. We've had a lot of events going on lately in the Gulf and the, you know, Florida and Atlantic Seaboard region. Everything's going on full swing, summer tournament time. We just had that Pygmy tournament over in Nevers. Turned out pretty good. Had some local anglers go over there and do pretty well. My buddy Tracy Devon, give him a shout out for fourth place over there. Good times. And then we had the Extreme Kayak fishing tournament over there in South Florida. So what we're going to do now, we're going to bring the winner of that event that just went down a few weeks back, Sean Rolls. We're going to bring him in right now, and we're going to start this segment with him.
What's going on, man?
Yeah, what's going on, dude? All right, props on that win, man. That's a good deal.
Yeah, thank you, man. I've been really looking forward to that one. I really wanted this win, so it was a good one for me.
That's good. Well, what we like to do to begin the show, give a little brief introduction about yourself. You know, tell everybody a little backstory of, when you got into fishing and what led you into that plastic boat.
Yeah, well, I've been fishing my whole life. Fished out of Delaware, actually. Oh, growing cool. up. Moved down to Florida like 6 years ago, and the whole kayak thing was a means to get out in the water for me.
Yep.
And then I basically fell in love with it, man. I got two tuna my first time out. I'm like, wow. The first two
that's
tuna
awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. First two tuna I ever caught in my life. I caught them from a kayak, like right off the beach. So
Blackfin?
Blackfin.
Blackfin.
Yeah. There's a yellowfin caught like once or twice a year here. Not from a kayak.
Not a bunch, yeah.
But yeah, there's randomly, but yeah, I know blackfin are, they get up like 30, 35 pounds is probably the max size, but
sure.
They're awesome fish, man, especially from the kayak. So
yeah, I'd like to have a couple of loins right now for them and sear them big old chunks, make some pokey or some.
Really we do. We do pokey. Tacos. We do on the grill. We make tuna burgers. I mean,
everything. Right.
Everything. Yeah.
It's same thing about me. It was just opening up more water with that kayak, you know, as far as getting on the water instead of just walking in and wade fishing stuff around here or bank fishing or, you know, I didn't want to spend all that money on a boat. I mean, even though you look at some of the stuff now and what we're running on these kayaks, you know, it's just like, we got a little bit of money into them.
Yeah, but, you start spending a little too much money on them.
Start spending money. That's when it comes down to you winning some big events like that and putting in the work and then come out with some good sponsors like that too. That's what it does. You get a little bit of exposure and move on forward. And that helps the cost a lot.
Yeah, it does a lot. One tournament sure a does. Year, as long as you play somewhere, it normally floats the whole year for tournaments.
It will. Yeah. You normally have a pretty good result here and there. It help you out big time. So let's get into that EKFT, that Who puts that on again? It's
Joe Hector.
Joe Hector. How many years has that one been running now? Is this
11 years?
11 years. Okay. Yeah. Cool deal. Yeah. And you had the win this year in that. And want to say you said you fished it the past three, and you actually won before, like the whole overall, the championship?
Yeah. So 2019 was my first year fishing the tournament. And they do a sailfish tournament in January. I got second place in that.
Oh, pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's my first tournament, so I mean, I was hooked, you know. Yeah, I got a $2,500
baptism by fire.
Yeah, big time. And then, it was a battle. I was right neck and back and forth with Brian Nelly and stuff.
Right on.
And I squeezed out first place for the year against him, so I got the championship, and then I was hooked. Actually, ended up getting sponsored by Nautical Ventures and joined the Homie Fishing Team. And I got into the PA360.
Oh, so, right on. Helped you out, get on Hobie and pick up a couple sponsors here and there. Yeah, that's just like we were kind of, you know, we're talking about that, you know, adding sponsors and stuff. And it's like them solid results can help get some exposure and, you know, pick them up. It definitely helps on the cost of them things.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, you get a couple good pictures on stage, and I was in a few magazines and the paper, and you know, it really helps for sponsorship big time.
Yeah, media coverage is key. You know, podcast, this stuff, any kind of thing you're getting put out there is a big help to a angler's resume. So, dude, I'm stoked to have you on, man, because I was wanting to. Interested in that event myself. I kind of want to tag along sometime with my buddy Tracy when he goes over there.
I see him down here quite a bit. Yep. So,
and Eugene Mora, he's another one of my friends that goes over and fishes some of the events and everything.
Yeah, I don't know if you know Eric Clark, actually. He's from Texas.
Eric Clark sounds very familiar.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah. I learned about all you Texas guys from there. I know you use ribbon fish when you go offshore. That's something I started doing. So.
A lot of guys use ribbon fish, and then I like the. I'm big on the dusters with a cigar minnow, and I'm big on halcos and the bigger rattle traps, like the two ounce rattle traps, trolling them blue and chrome with black, and I paint black stripes on them. And they hammer them.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about your win, man. You know, give us some insight on the conditions for that tournament and kind of, you know, what it took to solidify your placing, you know, what all went into that day, like a little bit of preparation. Let us know about, you know, the conditions and what bait or tactics, you know, give us a little insight.
So it's a lot of preparation. I mean, it's time in the water and many nights in the shed tying rigs and everything. And one of the key things I did this year that I don't normally do is I went straight out. We normally have a current, so a lot of people will pedal south to anticipate the north current, but I decided to go straight out, and I had the oceans of myself like when I first started in the morning.
Oh, wow.
And I had my live, I actually trolled ribbon fish on the way out so I can go full speed. And then I switch a live bait around like 100 feet deep. And I had my first king at like 8:30, got my second kingfish at 10, and I went out and caught a tuna and came in. That was my day.
Wow.
Just like that. So
you called the tuna on the deeper live bait rig?
No, I used a vertical jig for the tuna.
Vertical jig.
Yeah. I was in 300
fast.
Yeah. I was in 375 feet of water when I caught
the tuna. Oh, wow. So, was there some structure they were oriented around or just?
It's more just water out there in depth, you know.
They had some bait balls or something, or you focused on fish.
I went out. I saw a nice rip, a nice like flat area where the current changed, and you know it felt like the spot. I dropped down there and
right on.
Second drop, I got
second
him.
Second drop. Yeah. Wow.
And I came in. It took me probably almost 2 hours to get in. And
dang,
that's one of the things. Like a lot of guys probably could have placed, but they didn't get in on time.
Ah,
just, you know. But you got to
plays a part in it too.
Yeah.
Do they have a separate motorized division?
No, there's always been talk about it. But, I mean, there's a lot of the guys down here run an outrigger and a 2.5 horsepower motor on it. So,
oh wow,
yeah,
sail driven. Is there? Can you use the sail?
I think you can use a sail.
Yeah.
I think you can. Yeah. Yeah, but we don't have trouble with wind as much as we do the current. It's not really trouble, but I mean, you're drifting 2 miles an hour on average.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you figure if you drift for a few hours, you're 10 miles away, you know? So,
That's how I felt at this tournament the other day, the second day with 20 mile an hour plus winds, drifting flats, 2 miles an hour.
Congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you. Brought
home a nice check, right?
Had a nice little check riding home pasture, some little prizes and stuff from the support. They put on a good trail at Professional Redfish League. It's always a plus, you know, that we love to fish so much and everything. But then again, competition is what has always driven me, being surfing or skateboarding and then fishing, everything. I fish tournaments as a young kid, younger kid too, on the bass boat side. And it's really cool to still have that drive and competitive spirit, you know.
Yeah, the competition is great.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. And the camaraderie and meeting everybody and meeting people from different walks of life all over the country, coming in from different countries at times too.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Yeah. So
every week before a tournament, I get messages from people all over, like, hey, what about this? What about this? And I try to go like above and beyond and help people because, you know, I want everybody to have a good time.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I want it to be settled out there in the water, you know?
Yep. Offshore definitely separates them sometimes. So I'm going to tell you that. Looks like that pygmy goat tournament had some pretty sporty conditions. Looks like he almost could have surfed the kayak in.
I know they ended up weighing some good fish, and guy caught a 38-pound cobia.
The guy that won, caught a solid cobia.
Yeah, I fished it last year. Unfortunately, this year there's a conflict on the dates. They were scheduled the same day.
Yeah.
It was really bad for a lot of us because we had to choose. And, you know, obviously if we're in South Florida, we're not going to drive 10 hours to go up there. So,
yeah, that's a pretty good haul from South Florida.
Yeah. Sure. I think the same thing happened up there. So it kind of hurt both tournaments. Hopefully next year they can be on different dates. But yeah, because I went up last year and I had a great time. I mean, I placed, I won the Kingfish Calcutta. So it was a good tournament.
Oh, that's cool. I really like that area down there. I'm, you know, just from doing research and then seeing all the solid snapper they were catching and all that near shore structure that's, you know, not that far of a run out. It looks like a pretty cool fishery.
Yeah, it's fun. And the red fishing up there, which you'd be interested in, on 3 mile bridge is awesome. You're not going to catch
top waters
slot
at night. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not catching giants. A slot. They're all
giants.
Big.
Yeah. Giants. Yeah. Yeah, I've seen some good footage from up there from Benton and all them guys up there crushing them up there. So, hey, on, you know, Jason talking about, you know, this offshore stuff, you know, it's not for everyone, you know, for sure. You know, it'll separate, you know, the men from the boys to say it that way.
Yeah.
You got any tips and pointers, you know, to help someone that may want to transition over, you know, maybe start fishing offshore? You know, say like, you know, there's other things. There's a lot of things that we could talk about as far as, you know, when you're launching, when it's a little rough, you know, do you de-hook everything and like rig up when you're out there and once you're launched through the breakers?
So
put everything away. I mean, like tackle management and all that, like share a little bit of that with us.
Number one rule, they say, if you love it, leash it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you don't want to lose it, have it. I mean, I have my rods hooked to leash. I have my radio hook, my drive hook, everything is leashed. And I plan to flip, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That way, if I do, that's only happened a few times, but if I do, I'm okay with it, you know? I just pick myself back up and keep going. So, the biggest thing is don't go over your means, you know? If you're not comfortable with it, you're not sure about it, don't go out. And one thing is weight. I see a lot of guys come into tournaments and they want to do something extra and something special. Whether it be an extra bait pen or extra gear or weights or jigs, and they're overloaded. And, you know, weight's everything on a kayak, you know that. Yep. So, you know, you get a little off balance and you get an extra 20 pounds on one side and you're going over. Yep, pretty much.
And definitely self-rescue. I can add that. You're talking about weight and tumping over.
Yeah.
If you're not familiar with bailing off and flipping and then re-entering the kayak, it's a good thing to practice that for anybody that might be new wanting to come into this and try to do these things, even on bigger lakes, bigger open water. Self-rescue is big time, you know.
I mean, you can add that too. I'm 230 pounds. My other kayak is a Hobie Quest. It's kind of similar to Revo. I can get in that myself. So if I can get in and out of that, you can pretty much get back in. But
It is definitely key to be in on that for sure.
Yeah, go out on a flat day and jump in. You
get back. Take a swim.
So, that's the way to do it.
Even if you're just kind of on a flat, you can move off to a deeper cut and kind of practice it there. And that way, if you have to kind of kick back over to step on the flat, you can, you know.
And like just like diving too, the buddy system is great, you know.
Yes.
If it's rough, don't go out alone. You know, there will be another day next week, another week from now, whatever. Wait till you're comfortable and you have a friend with you to go out. You know,
buddy system. Sure. Like you said, a radio.
Yep.
You got to have radio a way to be a distress call and a flare gun.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt to have a bug out bag, even inshore fishing, like way back in the back lakes and marsh. I'll have a bag packed, you know.
I keep a little Ziploc bag. I got an extra whistle in there. I got some like medical tape and, you know, gauze. You never know. You're going to get hooked and you cut yourself with a knife and you want to be ready because you're out there alone, you know.
For sure. Yeah, if you get a hook in you or something, or, you know, you can have be fighting a fish next to you and the lure flies back and gets you or something, you know. But like you said, buddy system's big time, especially offshore.
It's when it's going to happen.
It's when it's going to happen, you know. Yep.
Yeah.
You never know. That weather can change. Like, the forecast can be, like, perfect and everything, and that weatherman don't know what's going to happen.
We've
plenty of times like that, you know.
And if you're like questioning it in the morning when you're going out, it's supposed to get worse through the day. Don't go out.
Don't go.
You got to land on that too, you know. So.
Yeah, you be coming in with head high surf is not going to be fun.
Yeah, definitely not good.
Not going to be fun at all.
No. But offshore is fun. I love it, man. It's the best being out there, you know.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to hook into.
especially here.
It's got to be something, especially down there.
Yeah, down here, I mean, within 2 miles of the beach, you can catch sailfish, wahoo, tuna, snapper, bonita, mahi-mahi, kingfish, everything.
Grouper, kingfish.
Cobia, everything you can imagine.
Yeah, the wahoo would be a bucket list one for sure, because those, if anybody's never caught one of those on a rod and reel, it's just instant. It's even faster than a kingfish run.
The one I got last year, in October, was 45 pounds. So,
That's a good one.
That was a big one. I was happy about that one, to say at least. So.
That's some great eating fish when you chill it and just slice it super thin. Sashimi style and just a little bit of soy and wasabi.
Yeah.
Squeeze a lime on it. Oh.
And to be able to catch her from a kayak, I'd have to say
that's an even bigger bonus.
Here, Hawaii, and unless you're Donnie from Pensacola, that's it. You're not catching one out there.
Or unless somebody's mother shipping you out somewhere to some crazy way offshore zone.
Personally, I'm just going to stay on the boat if I do that, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm like kind of a purist in that way. If I'm catching, I want to paddle out. I want to catch my own bait. I want to catch it on my own kind of thing.
Yeah, so. I'm not saying it could never happen in Texas, because we've seen, you know, my buddy Chris Castro caught that sailfish within 4 miles.
Yeah. They're fish. So, they have no rules, you know?
Yeah, there's no rules for them. I mean, but it would be cool on a kayak for sure. Definitely. Hey, so there you go. We're going to talk about, you know, live bait. You just were mentioning that, you know, live bait versus lures, you know, as far as that goes, time and place for both, you know. If you've had access to live bait, I mean, are you carrying like a sabiki rod or something out there with you trying to catch your own, or you kind of have some beforehand? Or
so if I'm fun fishing, I'm always catching my own bait. We use goggle eyes, blue runners. You can catch pilchards. I like goggle eyes and blue runners, the bigger baits for the bigger fish. You can catch everything on them. But during tournaments, we buy our bait.
They have a bait boat that runs around, and that's awesome.
You don't have to buy it, but it's an option. And it's just one less thing to worry about on a tournament. because the goggle eyes that we use, you got to catch them at nighttime. So that means tournament day, you're launching at 3 a.m. You're spending an extra 3 hours out there in the water. And just, you know, for the $50, $80, or whatever you spend, it's just one less thing you don't have to worry about, you know. And the baits are hand caught weeks in advance. They're seasons, which means they're recuperated from being caught, and they're actually stronger than like a day caught bait. You know what I mean? And yeah,
holding tanks for them, and like,
yeah,
get them ready to go. Beef.
I actually fish on a kingfish fishing team on a boat, and we catch all of our own bait. And if it's not 3 weeks old, we're not fishing it. You know what I mean? It's got to be. Yeah, it's got to be seasoned. It's got to be a good bait. So it makes a difference. Cool. Yeah.
That is cool.
But as far as tuna, man, we do a lot of jigging over here for them.
Yep.
I mean, it's a super effective way to catch them. You can do regular old vertical jigging or slow pitch jigging. And especially at evening time, I used to fish a lot of evenings. So I go out after work and just paddle out to 250, 300 feet. And you can catch 3-4 tuna at night. No problem.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fun. It was a great way to experience living here in South Florida. So.
Any issues with sharks and down there?
100% all the time.
Yeah. That sounds like Texas.
Yeah. And it's getting worse and worse. So, I mean, we have a lot of problems with the dive boats, like feeding them.
Yep.
So you don't even have a bait in the water, and they'll see a boat and they'll think, oh, that's free food. And they're coming right up to you.
Come up there and chop your tuna or snapper in half.
Yeah. Just like ducks in a pond. If somebody feeds ducks in the pond, you go up in there from shore, they're coming right up to you. You know, the sharks do the same thing.
Just like seagulls.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, picnic. Yeah. There's some food over there. I'm gonna go exactly. These people.
I mean, you're training them to do the wrong thing.
Sharks can be a nuisance species at times. I know everybody's like, don't kill the sharks. Mess up the balance. No, when they get overpopulated, it's crazy. That's about like our snapper limits. And, you know, used to be you go out offshore and you couldn't get your bait past all the trigger fish. Now you go offshore and you can't get your bait past all the snapper trying to catch grouper or something else.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, it is crazy. It's, you know, the season's rolling over here. You know, who knows when they'll, you know, how long it's going to last. But, you know.
Now you guys can get the red snapper from the kayaks there? Or?
Yeah. 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 We can get to some of the near shore rigs. You know, I use a lot of, you know, like you say, the vertical jigging, I use a lot of bucktail jigs, some of the speed jigs and stuff that come over from Australia, do pretty good on those. You know, I'll tip them with, actually I save, my trout carcasses.
Right.
And I take the backbone with the tail and I tip my bucktails with that. And I've been pretty productive doing that.
Yeah.
Pretty good snapper.
I snapper fished with a goat last year and it was, I don't want to say it was easy, but there was a lot of fish there.
Yeah. It seemed like there was a lot of fish over that.
We went out like the day before the tournament and 2 days before the tournament. And we all had our limit by 7 a.m. You know, I was like, okay, guess we go in now, you know? So.
Yeah.
And that was like getting the bigger ones too, you know, throwing the small ones back. So.
And it looks like there's a lot of chicken dolphin over there too.
Yeah. You
know, pretty close in, which is pretty cool because I don't know. It depends on how much sargassum we get, how much of the weed lines we get moving in closer to the, you know, within 2 or 3, 4 miles. Sometimes it just doesn't happen.
Yeah. We get a good bit of dolphin down here. Not too many big ones, but. A lot of like 25 to 30 inch dolphin, which is a nice meal.
Yeah, that's still some good eating.
And sometimes they come in as shallow as 40 feet of water, you know, which is, you know, you can almost cast there from off the beach. So,
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
y'all get any tarpon down that way?
Tons of tarpon.
Tons of tarpon.
Yeah, a lot more inshore, like by the docks and stuff, and they're so big,
right, with the snook and everything.
Yeah, they'll just run you out to a piling and break you off, but. I don't really do it much myself just because, I don't know, haven't got into it, but it looks fun.
Yeah, that offshore thing is something I don't really get to do a lot because I chase bass tournaments also. So I like to run around and fish for those greenfish every now and then too. And, you know, the big speckled trout is what I really like to chase. You know, I always talk about that. People probably jump on here like, man, Dustin talking about trout again. No, we're talking about offshore fishing this time, and I need to get out there and do more. We have a pretty cool tournament over here called Ray Del Mar, and it combines the two. It combines an inshore redfish tournament and then an offshore tournament. You know, there's some side pots for biggest jack, and there's like kingfish and snapper pots, and overall weight goes and combines with your redfish weights, and you're the king of the sea.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I want to get over there.
Pretty cool event. So that's pretty cool. I like I said, I want to make it over there for that EKFT, and then the goat, pygmy, or whichever ones they're going to have next year, and see, you know, the way it did this year. It kind of didn't work out on dates for a few of us, and then I know some had planned to go, and then it was changed with that, you know, Claudette coming through over there, and the weather affecting everything. So, you know, I was glad to see they got to run it yesterday. Like I said, I was talking to Tracy on the way. He was driving home this morning. Got to talking to him a little bit. He was talking about some pictures I posted. You know, I haven't shared too much with the, you know, podcast audience lately about it. I was going to do a little update here. I'm still kind of reaching my goal. I started a fitness journey about 8 weeks ago, intermittent fasting and cutting my caloric intake, and I quit drinking sodas. Cut my carbs, you know, started doing a little more exercise and some high impact, you know, metabolic training, started running again. So, you know, I'm down, I'm right at 35 pounds right now.
Oh, nice. Congratulations.
So yeah, I'm like 222. I started out at 257. I hadn't been 222 in quite a long time. And so I set my goal, you know, for 25 pounds, and I'm blew past that now, and I'm going to go to 205. I'm gonna bust that goal out too. So nice. I'm gonna tell you, I haven't felt this good in a long time, and that's maybe what kind of kept me from going offshore a little bit more than I wanted to, was being a little overweight and stuff. So hopefully that's going to change. You know, I'm feeling better than I have in a long time. You know, I jumped back on the skateboard today, got some runs in on a little mini ramp. I had a good time. And it's feeling good is a big difference. And I just want to grab my health by the throat and get a hold of it. You know, that's basically what I told myself. You about to get back in fighting shape. And it makes a difference on a kayak. Let me tell you now, reaching for your gear, turning around, straddling the seat and turning around and adjusting things is so much easier. I'll tell you right.
Yeah, no, I agree. I went on a diet right before the tournament because I gained weight like everybody did over the whole COVID thing. And
oh, yeah, and for sure.
I dropped like 12 pounds, and it don't sound like a lot, but no, I brought in 71 pounds of fish. So
yeah.
I mean, I had over 100 pounds on the kayak between fish and ice. So another 10 pounds makes a difference. You know what I mean?
It damn sure does.
Yeah.
Anything 10 pounds plus is, you know, it's like, man, that's like a – try, I want somebody, you think 12, 15 pounds in a lot, put a backpack on with a 15 pound plate on your back and walk around all day with that and see what it does. Cause I'm like me, I want to grab a 35 pound plate and put it on now and see how I felt before and then take it off and be like, oh my God, I guarantee it's going to be night and day. And it's like, as the weight still keeps coming off. And I'm gonna tell you, the intermittent fasting, I'm big believer in that, and I do a flex fasting because I do work shift work, so it kind of flops back and forth. And what got me wanting to talk about this is that, you know, I got, as a podcast, we got asked to join Waypoint TV to branch out and get a little more audience and stuff. And then so Tom Rowland, who is an awesome fisherman on the saltwater experience, reached out to me and was like, hey dude, you want to come on the podcast? I was like, sure. Audience ain't gonna know who I am, but okay, we'll talk kayak fishing. And he had no idea about all these tournaments and the CPR and all this stuff, and he was stoked on it. And then, you know, I know he's into CrossFit and fitness and everything, so we got to talking about all this too. And I plugged my buddy Luke Prentice that started this. It's called the Kayak Beast Program. He's a kayak fisherman, and he started this for kayak fishermen. And it's you know, it's an intermittent fasting base and high impact training, you know, just that eating window. You cut a little bit of food here, cut a little carbs, cut a little sugar. Dude, I'm telling you, everybody's seeing results. Even people yeah. that aren't changing their eating habits, just sticking to that fasting window is helping them maintain and drop a little bit over time. And it's pretty cool. So, yeah, big shout out to Luke for helping me on my fitness journey. And I'll be posting some before and after photos here pretty soon. It's going to blow some people away because Tracy was like, dude, I didn't recognize you in that picture. What happened to your
you got a neck now.
You don't have a waddle and you
the extra cover up with my beard, right?
And then, dude, your shirt's baggy. I'm like, yeah, that well, my gut was sticking out before in that shirt. Now it's like swallow me whole. All my fishing pants, I had to put a zip tie between two belt loops.
I've done the same thing. I got a rubber band holding mine together.
Rubber band, and then actually got a now they're falling down with the zip tie. I had to wear a belt. And it was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna have to buy all new board shorts again. They're all about to fall off when I swim in them. Man, but it's a good feeling just to feel that much better and just lighter on your feet and like I'm not fatigued. I'm sleeping better. I don't know. It's blown me away. So, yeah, sorry I got a little off track on that. You know, all y'all out there in podcast land. But, you know, it's just something I had to share real quick because it's I'm seeing some results and I've been pretty stoked on it.
It has a lot to do with kayak fishing too. Because
It's
free exercise. You're out there fishing, having fun, and if you don't catch anything, you're just going kayaking for the day. You know, it's still a great time in the water, and you got that great exercise from it. So, it's all part of it, right there. You know.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm part of Team Torquedo, and you know, I'm all about motors and covering water for pre-fishing and ruling out dead areas and this and that. But you know, when I get to my spots, I'm locked in and paddling, standing up, push poling, looking for redfish. If I'm sight casting in back marsh or something, or if I'm bass fishing, I'm using my pedal drive and moving around and positioning and using it to stay in position and stuff. You know, it's just another tool, just like my paddle and my pedals are. And to benefit from that is pretty cool too. But dude, I love the paddle. I came from the paddling side, that's always been the soul of kayaking to me. Getting in that first paddle boat and cooling out, running in the water. Yep.
My first kayak was a paddle kayak, and I still have it. And I took it out like 2 weeks ago. I got a nice mahi and a tuna off it, and it's just special, you know?
Oh, cool. What kind is ocean kayak?
It's a Hobie.
The Quest. It is a pedal. Yeah. What is that one? 13.6 or something like that?
13. Yeah.
13.
Yeah, I bought it for $500 like 4 years ago, and that was my first kayak. So it's special.
That's cool. You still have it. I wish I still had my first one. It was an old Perception Pescador. It's like 12.5 caster, old yellow looking thing with the scoop seat. You got ass got wet all the time, and then I was like, oh, it'd be cool. I'm gonna do some black fades on it, and then everybody at work because I car topped it. At the time when I first started, many years ago, and they'd be like, oh, you got that bruised banana on the top of your car. They called it the bruised banana. It's pretty funny. Some good stuff. It had some good memories in that thing. I put a lot of miles, being that thing was so light, though, I covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, so easy, less involved. Like now you're bringing batteries and depth finders and live wells and crates and motors. And, it's good to get back every once in a while, just two rods and a paddle and a kayak,
Yeah, I'll do that sometimes after work. I'll just, grab and go with my, I fish for Jackson. So I have a Mayfly and a U-Pick now. And I'll just throw one of them in the back with just the paddle. And I'll go hit a couple little closes, 2-3 miles away and, kind of use the wind and drift back. And just a couple rods, no crate, one little box with a couple plastics, a wake bait, and a top water, something. And then just go fun fish, catch a few fish, and then come back and then go to sleep, go back to work later instead of burning all day and messing, because you can overload yourself.
You can.
There can be some overkill days. Some bass tournaments are just like the same. It's like, 10 rods, but everyone's like, why so many rods? Well, there's a different presentation on each one, and I don't want to have to stop and retie. It's time management, just like, we were talking about too. is a big factor. So yeah, man, I know it comes into play offshore too. I've fished offshore, but I've never done an offshore tournament. And that's what's got my, seems like it's going to be another addiction when I start trying.
Yeah, I mean, last year there was guys that came down for the sailfish tournament this year in January, and they never caught a sailfish, never fished in the ocean before, and they caught sailfish and placed in the tournament. So, I mean.
Right, I heard about that. They came down from some Tennessee and some other places.
All over. Some people came from Ohio at different times.
Yeah,
So it's an opportunity to get out in one of these tournaments and catch fish. And if you're not like comfortable, like if you haven't been offshore a lot, they have help boats out there and constant communication. So it's a real good opportunity to try it for the first
time. That's January every year they have the sailfish one.
Yeah, it's like normally the middle of January, end of January. So
I'm making next year.
Yeah.
I'm going to make next year.
We're going to hold you to that.
I'm going to make next year. We'll have a big Texas contingent come over there, hopefully. Let's try to get it. We'll try to get a caravan and travel together, I hope.
Yeah, there really is a good bit of people.
Let's go. Let's go. Tracy Dedman, Eugene Moore, let's go. Eric DeLuise, I know he comes over for some of them too. Let's go. I'll be the lone Jackson in the, well, Eugene's wilderness too. Be rolling with the Hobie guys. It's all good. That's what friends
do. It's all good.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So, yeah, well, you're talking, you know, the species of fish over there, that South Florida fishery, it's pretty diverse. It seems like, you know, like you said, wahoo, kingfish, cobia, different kinds of snapper. Y'all get the dogtooth or pubera over there?
At times? You can if you fish for them. I don't really bottom fish a lot from the kayak. Okay. I had trouble getting hung up, and then you can't really have enough tension to break off. You know?
Right.
So you either got to cut 200 feet of line, and then I get upset about that personally. So I'm married to a marine scientist, so I try to keep that level.
Conservation minded.
Yeah. So if I'm not eating it, I let it go. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And after our freeze, you know, we had that crazy freeze this year. It hurt some of our fisheries, and people still try to downplay it and everything, but you know, it is what it is. You know, just like as an angler, it's our decision, you know, to be conservation minded. So
yeah, you know, I mean, just use the rule is down. Yep. You know, doesn't mean you need to keep 10 fish, you know.
Exactly.
If you're gonna eat two, keep two, you know.
Keep two. Yeah. Let other ones go to grow and breed. That I'm all about that as far in the trout fishery too. I'll keep a couple, you know, 17, 18 inch fish and take them home.
Yeah. As long as they got a nice hook set on them and I can release them, like I'm sure they're going to live.
Right.
Release everything.
No, like gill hooked or anything.
That one's coming in the back.
That one's coming home. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, y'all, man, y'all are, you know, just like we're our inshore fishery and then we got some good offshore stuff, but y'all are blessed with the plethora. You know, y'all can target triple tail in the rivers at certain times of year. There's certain times of year for everything down there. It seems like different seasons. Tarpon, snook, man.
Everything. I mean, there's always somewhere to fish. I mean, it can be crazy rough and windy, and we can go bass fishing. We have all these exotics down here.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Y'all have the exotics. Yeah. You can target the clown knifefish, the peacock bass. And what else is there? There's like the orange things with a big head.
We have clown knife fish, peacock bass, all kinds of smaller fish like
cichlids and
cichlids. We have red tail catfish down here too, actually.
Oh, dang.
We've Joe Hector and myself, we tried fishing for them a couple of times and we've hooked them, but haven't landed one yet. And it's been like a mission for the last like year or two.
They like break you off in the structure or are they just
they come in and they kind of like they roll. Yeah, they roll. And then you see a big air bubble, and next you know you're not hooked. I don't know what it is. Like I don't know if they like regurgitate. I mean, it happened three times already. So
they regurgitate so much stuff it pushes the hook out or something.
I don't know. I mean, dang. It's not something that like we're not experts on catfishing. You know what I mean? So, but we're trying to figure it out. We want to
figure it out. Ha! Dang, man. So okay, any travels outside of Florida? We get back on track. We get rolling around. I start talking about everything.
Yeah. not kayak fishing wise. I wanted to make it up to Ocean City this weekend. They have a big
that's that there. Big tournament there. My one of my guests, Rob English,
okay,
was placed last year. He had like a ran out with like a sea flea or something and caught a big black drum off the rocks and placed 2,500, some pretty good payout. That seems like a pretty cool tournament. I would enjoy to go up and do that. And then also, what's coming up in July next month, Three Bells Outfitters is having their trifecta, Striper, Fluke or whatever, and Bluefish.
Okay.
And nice. They have a big, you know, the Striper migration and all that. And, you know, you being from Delaware, too, you'd be
You have to send that one to me. That sounds up my alley right there.
And we have a side pot going on through the KSS, Kayak Saltwater Series. We do have online Striper events that go with that. That's and the monthly tournaments that we also have Redfish Challenges also. It used to be the KBF Redfish Series, but it turned into Kayak Saltwater Series. And there's a side leaderboard, the KSS Big Five for your best five striper during the trifecta is a separate leaderboard with $1,000 at stake for that too. $500 for first, $300 for second, $200 for third. So there's more money there. And that one, I think there's like about 60 anglers signed up right now. I have to send you the link for that one. That's up there. Yeah. And, you know, that should be a pretty good turnout. They usually have a good showing up there. And sounds like a pretty fun event, you know. Like I said, I was talking at the beginning, you know, it's that time of year. We got redfish trails going on. We got local clubs that have, you know, two freshwater, two saltwater events, a couple events left. We wrapping up on some of our bass trails and be having the championships coming up pretty soon for some of them. You know, everything's rolling. It's that time of year. And then getting out of this COVID funk and everything's kind of, I mean, my habits really didn't change. I mean, I still fished all the time. I said I was social distancing. I was out on the water.
I got hooked up with a nice guy that had an empty lot on the Intercoastal last year, and he let me park it because the beaches were closed. We couldn't go to the beach to launch.
That's insane.
Yeah, it was crazy. And so I would go to his house and put my kayak in right there and go through the inlet.
Oh, and sweet.
It was great, man. There was no boat traffic out there. It was like free fishing, you know. It was awesome. So
it was fun last year. I still can't get over the closing a beach where you can't launch a
car. Yeah, it was crazy.
Some of the stuff they did just made no sense at all.
And even this year, we're having trouble. There's only one tournament this summer. It's normally a two-part series.
Yeah.
But because everybody's playing catch up on all their events.
Right.
That Joe Hector, had to cut it down to one tournament. The city wouldn't let him do two. Wouldn't give him a permit or anything. So he was only able to do one. That's it. We're done for the year. So still got 6 months of summer left, you know, down here. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And we wish we could do another tournament, but especially me, because I just won. So I got that money to spend on the next one, you know?
Yeah. Goes back into that tournament account and then use it for future entry fees or whatever you broke during the tournament and stuff. So, yeah.
Well, I want a Hobie Outback too.
Oh, sweet! Hang on to that one.
Yeah, I started rigging it up this week and getting it all ready to go. I've never fished out in an Outback before, so
I have some friends that fish out. It's a great inshore boat for sure.
Yeah,
I don't know how it would do offshore.
I know they're good, but like I said, I'm a bigger guy, so
yeah.
And the PA is like my boat of choice, you know, the pro angler. But
that's what you're fishing on now, a 14.
Yeah, PA-14 with the 360 drive. Yeah. Which is I don't want to get too much on Hobies. I know you're not a Hobie guy, but
no, dude, we talk about all of them on the show. Yeah.
I was the guy that was like against it at first too. Like, oh, I'm not going to use that offshore, you know. But I love it. I use it constantly,
especially when you're fighting a fish and having position.
Yeah, sailfish. I mean, everything. Can see that. You're trying to get that grab. It's great. And inshore too, I do a lot of bass fishing and stuff. And I don't even know how I fished before, you know.
Yeah.
You said to break out the paddle and go backwards a little bit and go sideways. Yep. And now it's just all right there as your hand, you know. So it's nice.
Yeah, that's definitely a pretty innovative design on that thing. You know, I got no qualms with it. I'm all down, you know.
Yeah.
They did their work and came out with a pretty cool deal. You know, it's a cool thing. You know, I'm happy with what I fish out of, just like, you know, you're happy with the Hobies too. And, you know, I've been in a Hobie. I dig them. I can dig them.
Yeah. Yeah. And all plastic boats on the water, you know?
Oh, yeah. What's the main thing is it's getting us on the water and keeping us fishing. That's all.
That's one of the coolest things about the tournaments, man. You meet people from all over, different styles, different kayaks, different everything, you know?
Yep.
I mean, I don't know anybody here at Trolls or Rattle Trap, but maybe they'll try it after this week, you know? I mean, I used to use them for stripers and everything. Mm-hmm. Up in Delaware all the time, and that was our thing, you know.
Yeah,
the inlet high tide at the bridge from the slack tide, you know. That stuff never might stopped be something. Yeah,
might be something to check out. I've had more than I've had the cobia smack the crap out of them too.
Yeah,
or ling as they call them over here. I'm from Georgia. I'm from Southeast Georgia, and I grew up there fishing inshore coastal fishery there, and out of St. Simons Island. You know, and the stuff I know now, kayak fishing wise, if I could go back when I was younger over there in that fishery, oh man, that place is pretty cool.
I'm dying to get back up to Delaware. We had like a 12-foot V-bottom boat, like growing up, and that was like my boat, and it was awesome to fish that in the shallower water and stuff. I could just imagine being in a kayak so quiet, just drifting along, you know, in the bay and stuff.
Yeah,
it's got to be different, you know.
And the only thing different though is the tide swings. I mean, we only have, I mean, at the biggest we have like a 2-foot tide swing over here.
Oh really? That's nice.
It's like 6 to 9 foot in Georgia. It's like, yeah, and you're not wade fishing in Georgia. Maybe on some of the, you know, the little salt grass and flats and stuff here and there where you go catch filler crab and all that, but yeah, a lot of them places you jump off, you'll be up to your neck in mud.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I appreciate you coming on the show tonight and getting to know you a little better and talk a little bit about some offshore fishing and fishery down there in Florida and your win there at the EKFT and your previous win and their pretty much first tournament. It's pretty damn cool, man.
Yeah,
but yeah, maybe we'll, like I said, we need to get the crew together and head that way next year for that sailfish event. Hopefully it'll come together.
Don't wait till next year. Come down anytime.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I'll be down for ICAST actually, but it's like a quick trip in and out, man. It's like coming over here for 2 days and then driving right back home.
Yeah.
It's going to be a turn and burn is what that's called.
I know Brian Nelly has extra kayaks too. So
oh, I know for sure. Yeah. And he's always got something going on. He's got those crazy trips coming up. You know,
yeah.
Speaking of that, I need to have Brian on again and talk some stuff. He did pretty good down there at the Pygmy, so you know, when you get him on, and then next time I need to reach out to Joe before his events and start, you know, get him on the show and plug it pretty good too. So yeah, I think I'm gonna have to do that also. I got lined up for the next show after you will be Justin Ivy. I'll have him on coming up too. I just reached out to him.
Okay.
And got him coming on the show. And then, you know, we're just trying to line out some different guests from all over the country. You know, I have people from California that might spearfish for halibut off their kayak, you know, and ling and yellowtail, ling cod or whatever. Yeah, those ugly fish.
Yeah.
You know, and those redheaded sheephead over there are crazy looking. So, but it's always cool to talk to, you know, different anglers in different regions and everything. So.
Yeah, we do a lot of diving over here off the kayak too, actually, for lobster and everything like that. You go off the beach and catch lobster. So
that's awesome. That time of year.
Yeah, our season's about to open up and we're all getting excited for that. So,
just
go out before work, get your limit of lobster, go to work for the day. And
what kind of depth are y'all talking about?
You can get them as shallow as like 10, 12 feet. So.
And that's in the Coquina Rock and all that? Reefs?
Yeah, there's reefs and big boulders. And,
yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you go early enough, they're walking on top of the reef.
You got to poke them and kind of shine.
Other times you got to pull them out.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you go early enough, they're walking. So you just snatch them up. It's pretty cool. So,
oh, that's rad, man.
Yeah.
That is
just another thing to do in the kayak.
Man, that's awesome, dude. But yeah. Hey, appreciate me and you coming on the show tonight. Give you the stage there. Any shout outs or sponsor plugs? Go ahead and shout them out.
Nautical Ventures is definitely my main sponsor. They're a kayak dealer down here. The extreme kayak tournaments are awesome. I appreciate everything those guys do, putting them on for us. Real Line Fishing Team. They're the guys I fish in a boat with King Fishing. We're sitting first right now for the year in SKA. So I think that's more of an East Coast thing. I don't think they get over there, but
yeah, so Southern Kingfish Association. Yeah.
We're getting pretty excited about that tournament coming.
That's pretty solid right there.
Yeah. So but that's pretty much it, man. Just here to fish and have fun.
On, man. Well, yeah, big props on that recent win and everything.
Thank you.
We're going to get over that way one of these days. I'll definitely make it over there. And if I do, I'm definitely going to reach out to you to get some intel.
Yeah, let me know, man.
Drag Brian out there, too, see what happens.
Yeah. People message me all the time, man. I'm always, like, ready and willing to help, you know. No secrets here. No blurry black backgrounds in my posts, you know.
There you go. Hey, so, if you can figure it out by my background pictures, that's fine. I might not tell you where I'm at, but if you can figure out by looking at a background, more power to you. I'm all down for that. Well, yeah, thanks again for coming on the show. Once again, thanks to all the listeners, supporters of the podcast, Truchador & Co. and Waterloo Rod Company for the support. And, thanks again, everybody listening. We'll catch y'all next time on Chasing the Tide.